Dear God, you are holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. And when we think about the saints and angels and really all of creation gathered before your throne, it's still a wonderful mystery to us that you invite us to join in that praise. Thank you for accepting us through Jesus. Dear God, you know the things that are on our hearts and minds. You know this world way better than we do. And even as we check the news occasionally during the day or during the week, you have your eye on everything and know all that is occurring. We pray, Lord, for this country of Guatemala and the work of the Peter Fish funds that will be raised. And we know that the story that we hear is just a part of the people around this world who are in desperate need, often through no fault of their own. And so, dear God, we lift them up before you. We pray also for agencies, organizations, and people that work for justice and that work to help communities be established and flourished. Lord, will you bless them and strengthen them? We thank you, Lord, for the release of a Canadian family and an American wife this week, and we're horrified by the stories of things that they have endured. And so as we think about them, we pray for others like them, people that are living under strict military regime or in guerrilla warfare or in places where evil people and greed rule their lives. Oh Lord, sometimes we don't know what to pray except for your kingdom to come and that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray for our own nation. We pray for our prime minister. We pray for mayors and other civic leaders, for provincial leaders. We pray for elections here and around the world, that through these too, Lord, your will may be done. We pray that you will stir us where we need to be stirred to respond and react in ways that ensure that justice is done. Lord, we pray for the women's shelter that we collected for today, and we pray that the work there may be a blessing to many women who otherwise do not have that kind of support. And Lord, may their lives be lives that are turned around and that they can live lives that are full and flourishing as well. We thank you, Lord, for your care for us, whether we are here this morning or those that are not here, those that are in the hospital, those that are undergoing treatments of some sort. Thank you that people are gone and then they come again. Thank you for those that are guests today and other days, and we pray that they too will be nourished by the singing, the prayers, and by the gift that you give us through communion. Lord, you know the things that we celebrate as well. We lift up before you birthdays and other occasions of joy and thanksgiving. We pray that you will bless us as we are in our relationships with other people, whether that's friendships or marriage relationships or other committed partnerships, Lord. We pray that you will strengthen relationships so that our communities may be strengthened. Thank you that we have this amazing opportunity to open your word without fear and to share with each other. And we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds as we listen to words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people of God 2,000 years ago. Bless us as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to be reading together from Colossians 3 this morning. It's on page 1167 in your Pew Bibles. Joanne and I laughed a little bit as she put the words, she always puts the words of the sermon on the sign outside. So I don't know if you read it, but it says get dressed this week. So maybe it was, people are supposed to be curious about that. Rules for Holy Living is the title given this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves instead with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, Nikki Gumbel, who is associated with Alpha, and he's the one who was recorded in the first series of videos, he tells a story that really struck me at the time. He serves a large Anglican church in London, the city of London, England, and there was a bag lady around the church. So think of an older woman with graying hair, matted, maybe balding in some places, bent over, shuffling around. After she passed you, there was just a smell hanging in the air because she wasn't washing herself very well. And Nikki, let's call her Tilda. Nikki said that she was a particularly a nasty brand of bag lady, because not only did she beg everywhere, if you didn't give her enough, she would revile you. So she would yell at you and call you names. So she was a woman that you really tried to avoid. Well, eventually, Tilda passed away, and Nikki's church was asked to host the funeral. And the senior pastor approached Nikki and said, "Will you lead this funeral?" And Nikki thought, "Well, sure. I mean, who's going to be there? I guess I'll have to round up a few people from church to come to this funeral so it doesn't look pitiful." And so when he said that to the senior pastor, the senior pastor said, No. Be prepared for the church to fill up with the rich and the famous." And Nikki said, what do you mean? And he said, Tilda is actually a very wealthy woman. She not only owns several houses, and she has pieces of art that are very valuable, but she actually even owns hotels. And so she has all these connections. And sure enough, that's what happened. The funeral, the building was full, and it was attended by all these people that did not look like Tilda. Famous people, dignitaries, bankers, politicians, and ladies decked out in jewels and fur. And yet Tilda had lived out her life as a dirty, begging bag lady. So we could say that Tilda, for whatever reason, was a woman with a severe identity crisis, right? Identity problem. And we look at her and say, why in the world would you choose to live like that when you could have had, you could have a very different existence? What is your identity? What was Tilda's identity? But what is our identity? So keep those two images in mind as we reflect on this passage. On the one hand, the grubby, filthy, ragged bag lady, and on the other hand, a clean, accomplished, well-dressed woman. So Paul, in this passage, he gives snapshots of two different time frames for us to look at to learn about ourselves. And the one is he gives us the time frame of the past, and he gives us the time frame of the present. And in the past relates to you. The past relates to us, and it relates to Jesus. But first, it relates to you. Your story, says Paul, includes this dirty existence, some dirty history, a sort of bag lady existence, if you will. And this, he says, showed itself in certain behaviors. It was obvious in your life. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. That's what showed up in your behavior in your old life. And lying, he mentions, and division. These were the attitudes or the rags that you were living in, that you wrapped yourself in, and in fact, they became you. They were your identity. You became comfortable in that existence because it was what you knew. And then, in a totally different arena, is the story of Jesus in the past. Jesus, the God, man who obeyed God perfectly, Jesus, who Scripture says was tempted just as we are and yet did not sin, who was then killed, who died, but who was raised from the dead, and who ascended to heaven to sit at God's right hand. See, the past contains your story, my story, our story, and Jesus' story. One story is of the filthy rags, and one story is the story of glory. But then, Paul shows us how something miraculous happens. They aren't just two separate stories as far away from possible, from each other as possible, but in some mysterious way, they get woven together. And our ragged, dirty story got picked up by the story of Jesus, the story of glory, and mysteriously, our story didn't make Jesus' story ragged and dirty and stinky and smelly, but it was our story that was changed into the story of Jesus. It got transformed and became the story of Jesus. Jesus died, we died, verse 3. Jesus was raised, we have been raised, verse 1. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God, and our life is there as well, safe with him. Paul says, you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. We have been changed. It's a rags to riches story, whereas Tilda's was the other way around, at least in how she lived. We've gone from being an earthbound caterpillar to finding the wings of a butterfly on our backs. There's a little cartoon about two caterpillars crawling along a leaf together, munching their way through life. And suddenly this large butterfly flutters by, and the body of the butterfly looks still something like the caterpillar. And one of the caterpillars says to another, you'll never catch me riding in one of those things. Right. Little does he know. Secondly, it's a passage about the present. We now have a new identity in Jesus. We are now, Paul says, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That little phrase needs to be unpacked because there's a lot in there. We're now God's chosen people. We belong to him, and that's an awesome thing. In other parts of Scripture, we're called God's adopted children because Jesus was his firstborn son, and God adopts us and gives us the same rights and privileges. So out of the orphanage, so to speak, God takes us into his family. And parents of adopted children have sometimes used the kind of language that says, it's true you weren't born from us, but that makes you all the more special because we chose you. You are chosen, you are adopted to be into this family. And you are holy, it says. In this sense, holy is not what you only become. We think, well, maybe in heaven we'll be holy, but it's what you already are. You are holy. And here, holy means set apart for God's purposes. The people of God are holy, set apart from other people, and that's God's doing. Not only that, we are dearly loved. God really, really loves you. The kind of word that Paul uses here means that you have been loved by God in the past. It started at some point in the past, and you are continuing to be loved by God. See, God's love is an ongoing sort of love. God really loves you. And don't we today get to experience that again in a tangible way? A pastor became the father of adopted children, and one of them was a daughter who had been physically and sexually abused before. And as her new father, the pastor grieves over what had been done to her small person and how that has scarred her sense of identity. And his words to her show us the father heart of God to us, his children. He says, and you, the child who's been ravaged, you must not call yourself ugly. You aren't. You are beautiful. You are the image of the Creator. You are his best art, his portrait, his image, and his child. You are not an accident. You were planned. You are, he says, the cunning intention of Almighty God. God loves you, and so do I. Sleep now, child, in perfect peace. You are God's, and he spreads his wings above you now. That's our new identity in the present. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Those are wonderful words of affirmation, but God isn't just content for us to stop there and to say, oh, well, look at us. We're so special. We're wonderful. We're holy and beloved. But there is an action. There is a life that is required to flow out of that. What must we do? Well, he stresses over and over again, we must take off the rags that belong to our old identity. In fact, we may even have to burn some of those stinking old clothes. Paul's language here is very strong and radical about things that we need to do. Put to death. That's pretty radical. Rid yourself of all these things. As I was reflecting on that, I was thinking about myself, but many others in this congregation over the time I've been here who have had to move into a smaller space. Rid yourself of all these things. And then do not lie. Like, that's just simply a command. Don't do it. Don't lie. It's pretty straightforward. Living out of our new identity does require some work on our part. When I think about putting to death, I mean, have you ever put something to death? I'm sure you've put to death a mosquito or a fly. And even a simple thing like that takes effort, right? And how annoying is it when it's buzzing around your ear in the dark at night and you can't see it? And putting something to death also leaves a mess. You could be leaving blood around, and some of that may even be your own blood in putting it to death. I have also witnessed things like chickens with their heads being chopped off. That's a messy, violent business. Putting to death can be messy and violent. But you see, if what you really are is a butterfly, if inside you are this heavenly creature, you can't crawl around like a caterpillar anymore. So if inside you are a Christ person, you can't look and act simply according to your old nature. You must stop doing the things that are not in line with your new identity. With God's help, burn the rags and replace them, the rags, with God's beautiful robe. Paul says, "So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," he doesn't just give us the identity, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, but it's preceded with a therefore. Therefore, because this is who you are, clothe yourselves with. And then follows this list of wonderful characteristics. Many of them are match with the fruit of the Spirit. So instead of the dirty deeds that you have to put off, now you have to put on what is good and lovely. You must wrap around yourself the attitudes and actions which show your true identity with compassion, a tenderness, a feeling with is literally what it means, feeling with others. And he says, kindness. What compassion can lead to, kindness shows itself in actions. And humility, which is the opposite of pride, having, scripture refers to in other places, a proper view of ourselves before God, but also counting others better than yourselves. I saw a little C.S. Lewis quote yesterday that said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, like putting yourself down, but thinking of yourself less. Gentleness is another piece of clothing that we put on. Not harshness, but an attitude that has grace for others. Patience is sometimes it's actually translated literally as long-temperedness. So if you think of a fuse, this is not someone with a short fuse. This is sort of like a long, 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 long fuse. And Psalm 103 says God has this too. His fuse never actually gets to the explosion. And then this one, bear with each other. You know, literally it says endure one another, like put up with each other, because this is who you are, the people of God, so endure one another, bear with each other, put up with each other, stay together, learn how to extend the grace to each other that you yourself need as well. And then it says, forgive. How? Why? As the Lord forgave you. You can see here the image of kind of a tunic, a sort of gown. I found a picture just of the priestly ephod that the priests would wear. But I was really, really looking for an image that would do what I wanted, but I couldn't find it. So I imagine patience, love, long-suffering. I imagine them as all panels in a gown that you wear. And then, or if you think of it like a house coat, what you need then is a belt, right? You need a belt to tie it together. And Paul says, over all these virtues, put on love, which ties them together in perfect unity. How do we know what love is? Well, God gave us some pretty dramatic displays where God so... Actually, let's read this together, John 3:16 on the bottom. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Again, we get to experience that love tangibly in our mouths and bodies today. So we agreed that Tilda, the bag lady, was a woman with a severe identity problem. We look at her and say, well, why in the world would you do that, right? Who would want to live like that? Who would choose that grubby existence over this other way that you could live? But think about this. You know who would do that? It's something like what Jesus did, where he exchanged his life of glory and power for a grubby life of hunger and poverty and pain and humiliation. And he did it for us. For you and for me. Now that is love. Jesus went from being a butterfly, so to speak, to being a caterpillar, from being a prince to being a bag lady, all so that we can go and live into our true identity from being a caterpillar to being a butterfly. So, people of God, this text asks us today, what are we wearing? Filthy, smelly, tattered rags that belong to your old life, an identity that you don't have anymore, or the new robe of righteousness that God drapes you with? Which does your life reflect? Do you dare to ask someone else what they see in your life and how much your life really reflects in your relationships? This kind of identity? We are always God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. God's attitude, God's disposition towards us will not change, but we will change. Our identity is being renewed after that of the Creator, and we have to cooperate with God in this. I loved that image of someone. You can buy these sort of doodle Bibles where it leaves space for you to draw things that your imagination leads to as you read things. And this beautiful robe with the words in it and love around it. So God changes us, but we also have to cooperate and change ourselves. We can't do it on our own, but Christ stands ready, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us. So don't be discouraged. God has changed our past. He's given us a new identity. It is new, but it's also being renewed. And today, again, we get to participate in this tangibly through communion. A new life through the body of Jesus, a new life through the blood of Jesus given on our behalf. And all God's people say, amen. Response. Dear God, we thank you for this image that Paul gives us of an old life and a new life. Thank you for images of people that help us to see that, and also images of creation, of a caterpillar and a butterfly. Lord, we know that we each need to be convicted of some way in which we are not living out of our true identity. And we ask that by your Spirit, you do that in our lives as we submit to you. We thank you so much for the gift of Jesus and for the way in which tangibly again today we can experience that, taste and see that the Lord is good. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.